said that dreams come true. Never live down here with me and you. All the lies that we believe, all the dreams that we could see, forgotten long ago. How are we doing today, folks? Welcome to episode 8 of the Introvert Musician Podcast. I'm your host, Nikki P. So today we're going to answer the question, should I join a group? I'm approaching this, as with all things, expecting that this is for beginners, because if you've been playing a while, you already know how to answer this for yourself. But for people that are just kind of getting into this, as with everything, it depends on what you want. Feel free to stop over to theintrovertmusician.com if you have questions. But I'm going to try and cover this as good as I can. So, should I join a group? The way that I look at it, there's a couple reasons to stay solo. And that's where I want to start. The big things are more money and more control. And those kind of matter more the longer you do this. In the beginning, not so much. And the reasons being is because, let's start with the money. When you're just starting out, you have less kind of control over how the market's going to respond to you and what your value is. More than anything, you don't really have an idea of what your value is. You don't have any way to prove it, to show what your value is to other people, unless you had a few gigs under your belt. So there's a couple different ways people pay. The general ones are, you can do by group size. Some people literally will just pay X amount per guy in the band. And that's probably my least favorite. I don't really care how many people are in the band. If we make music that takes care of the night and we do X amount of output, whether it's one guy or five guys, I don't really care. If one guy can do the job of five guys, then pay me for the job of five guys. We also have flat rate. I tend to work with a flat rate for what I do. In general, I show up for $300 a night. Places that book me tend to work with that. Some places just have what they pay bands. And it doesn't matter if you bring three guys or you bring yourself. So a lot of the places I currently work with, that's just how it works. So if I bring a duo, it's a lot easier on me, but I make less money. If I do it solo, I make more money, but it's a little bit more of a headache. The other way you can do it is percentage of the door. It's my least favorite. If you're doing original bands, that's almost exclusively how they're going to do it. But the fact of the matter is, if you're starting out, how many people are you actually going to bring? So if you can avoid this, do it like the plague. Not to mention the fact that they may expect you to hire a door guy, in which case you're probably going to have to pay someone to do that. That guy might run off with money. There's also percentage of bar sales, which is another thing. But in all these, you have to rely on the business person you're working with to be reliable and be honest, which I find is sometimes a little hard to find in this industry. There's also a combination of the above. So we've kind of covered exactly what the strengths are of each of these. Well, one thing I'll say, and I will reiterate, if I were you, the way you really want to do is just be excellent at what you do. Find places that are going to have entertainment no matter what. Because places that have entertainment no matter what, they're not relying on you to bring a crowd. Like, we've gotten to a place where in the industry, so many people are worried about you bringing people. And the fact of the matter is, well, if you bring them, then they're going to leave tomorrow. You want a place that has a built-in audience that just wants to be entertained. And you want to be the best entertainer you can possibly be. So I recommend just trying to stay in that zone. Get good at entertaining. Keep the people there. Don't let them leave. Backtracking slightly, the other main reason to play solo is that you need to Let's say here. You need to have your control and you want to do everything yourself and have it the way you want it. I would recommend probably not being the best way to do things. The fact of the matter is if you're going out and trying to make money, it really doesn't matter what you want. You're strictly there to make sure that people are entertained and you're going to do what they want. You have more options if you have more people. So that's probably the route I recommend going. Honestly, I have a page that I'm going to be putting up soon and possibly a course that goes with it. It's going to be set creation for beginners. And it just kind of walks you through how I recommend setting up a set list. And it's worked well for me. And it's like, honestly, at this point, I don't even go into a show with a set list. I have a giant folder of songs that I play, can play. And then I'll look stuff up on the fly at the gig. Like, literally, nobody cares how crappy you play the song if it's something they really want to hear. So a lot of times, I'll just have Ultimate Guitar on my tablet and look stuff up on there. Especially as the night goes on and I'm asking for requests. By request is always the best way to do it. But if you're going to start, you want to have material geared towards keeping people happy, keeping them upbeat, keeping them energized. The other thing that I will note is that there is the downside to having more control, or having, said the positive side to having more control, is that you will find that if you don't have to rely on anybody, you don't have to deal with them not showing up. I have a standing gig at a venue that I am currently having to deal with the fact that my partner that I booked this gig as like a bulk, we play there once a month. He has another gig that unfortunately pays more than I do. So I'm kind of going to be the one that gets the shaft when he told me that he has like 3 months in a row he's not going to be able to make this standing gig. As long as everything's fine with the venue and they're cool with me doing it, which I don't expect to be a problem, I'll just play the gigs and make more money. But I did go into this booking expecting that he would be there and now finding out that he won't be. So it can be a bit of a headache and burden to have to give away that control. So control can be good sometimes. So let's move along. Those are, to me, the really important reasons to stay solo and the things that you'll come up with. I don't think most of those affect newbies, though. So reasons to join a group. Spread load the work, the cost, and the attention. As far as the work goes, you got load in. Many hands make light work. More people to work is always better because nobody wants to work that hard. I put a lot of effort into making sure that everything I do is a tight ship. I show up, I have as little to do as possible. I'll have a podcast coming up here on what my rig is to make it as easy as possible to get in, get out as quickly as I can to make that per hour a little bit nicer. And as long as people actually do the work, it's great. Musicians have a tendency to be perhaps not the most industrious people, so you're going to find that not everybody carries their own weight. You may do better to find out the best things for people. When it comes to booking, essentially, the more connections, the better. The more opportunities and different types of selling technique you have, the better. Not everybody jibes with every person. Personally, in my one duo, we have my partner does really good with businessy kind of people. He's very normie friendly. If I have like a sports bar place, he's the guy that's going to book it because he's the guy that's going to go in there and be able to talk sports ball with people. On the other hand, if I have a place that's kind of artsy fartsy and hoity toity and you probably have a dude with a handlebar mustache working there, well, we're sending me to book that gig because I could sit there and talk about modern art and stupid bands from the 1970s that only me and that guy know about, we'll just say. Content creation, the work that goes into that. I cannot express to you how much work is going to go into having to make videos, make you know, promo images and things like that for the Twitter, the Facebook, the Instagram, and all that crap. Oh my God, so much work. But it's also super, super important. If you don't have an online presence, good luck getting your foot in the door anywhere. It's just not going to happen. So having more people that can kind of spread load that huge, huge amount of work is very, very important. Driving. One guy drives the gig, one guy drives back sometimes. If you have a driving gig. Personally, I hate driving, so I don't mind moving all the gear in and out of the venue if I don't have to drive anywhere, because it's not my thing. As I said earlier, the big thing is to take the amount of work that you have and be able to spread it out amongst the people in the band. There's also the fact that when you have more people, part of that work is promotion. And let's just say I have dealt with very subpar performers on stage because they're promotion magnets. They were great at going out and getting people there. And while I may not be ecstatic about how they play on stage, there is the fact that as long as there's butts in the seat and the venue makes money, I can play there again. And while I enjoy performing for the sake of performing and doing the artistic stuff, really, this is my hustle and how I put money on the table for my family. One of the other things that you're going to find with you have a group, and it's a good reason, a good way to play with people, is the cost. At the end of the day, PAs are expensive, and things break. So if you're just starting out, it's an awful lot of cost to take on the chin. Like, even for my simple setup, I think the Bose system that I use when I first bought it was right around $2,000 for the PA. I think my board that I have is $250 plus all the cables, the stands, the mics. That's a whole lot to take just so you can start doing this and eventually hopefully make the money back. If you got a couple guys you can spread it, that's good. I personally own all my gear because if, say, things get tight and I'm not having a good year, I can liquidate all my assets and make money back that way. But I've never had to do that because this has actually worked out fairly well for me. If you worry about the business and do the business well, you can actually make money doing this. So you can spend more time with your little girl like I do. Right, Irma?
Yep.
One of the other things I will say that you don't have to deal with as much is you get to spread load the attention. A lot of people, I'm sure if you're here, part of the reason you're here is because you have difficulties with people or dealing with the people, and you know, perhaps stage fright is easier when you don't have to handle it all yourself. More people on stage means more things to pay attention to that aren't you. And I completely understand that. A lot of the reason I started doing the duo thing was because I didn't want people paying that much attention to me. I like singing, I like playing guitar, but I was not in love with just being the only thing up there that people wanted to pay attention to. So You get a little bit of a reprieve. They can pay attention to the other singer, the other guitar player. If you're in a big group playing with four or five people, there's a lot of other things. So if you mess up, it's not as obvious, and it takes some of the pressure off. And you'll find that if you don't have the pressure, you're going to play better anyways. The last thing and last reason I think that's really on the reason to play with other people, start a duo, trio, whatever, is it's fun. Some nights you just get nothing from the crowd. They might as well be an oil painting. And it's nice to have someone to joke around with on stage when it's going badly, because you can commiserate about it and just go, hey, you remember that time and nobody was getting it and it was just a rough night. And when you're starting to build confidence, that's super, super important. You want to have the experience be as good as possible, and kind of having a brother in arms can help with that. One of the other things is, so if you're having fun with somebody on stage, fun has a tendency to be contagious. So all those people that were being an oil painting in the beginning of the night, well, they kind of buy in because, well, what the hell? I'm not having a good time. I want to be doing what these people are. So when you're asking for requests, you're asking to get them engaged in the performance, which is the most important thing, I think, is getting people engaged in your performance. It helps to be up there having a good time. All right, so I'm sure there's a lot of other things that could come up. These are the things that were right on the top of my head when I was trying to come up with an episode for today. My wife asked me this question, and I'm like, oh, that's a good one. So if there's anything you think that I should add to the list, maybe do another one of these later on down the road, let me know. Go over to theintrovertmusician.com, drop me an email. I got a fun little quiz up there to find, see how close to being stage ready you are as far as your self-esteem goes. And everybody wants to feel good about themselves, right? You're probably farther along than you think you are. In closing, take it easy. Go forth to peace, gigs, and prosperity. I'm Nikki P. Take it easy.